Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you very much for checking it out when you get a chance. Thanks for subscribing to my free newsletter, which comes by email on Sunday. Thank you for those of you who've been checking out our blog, which is available on the homepage or at jimsblog.biz. And if you don't want to come get it, we'll send it to you. And you can find the technology that allows you to do that right there on our homepage, right there on our blog. And don't forget all the other things you can find on our website, including some of the past interviews that we've done with our good friend and our guest this half hour, Mr. Josh Costell, the author of The Science of Sales Success. He's our good friend. Josh, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. It's great to be back from the rainy Jersey Shore here. I love your definition of teamwork, Jim.
That's exactly right. Well, I'm in Washington, D.C. I'm broadcasting live from Georgetown in the Georgetown Inn. And as I look out the window here, it's going to look like it's going to be a beautiful day here.
Oh, that's great. When I was listening to your thing about teamwork, it reminded me, like probably a lot of your small business owners out there, I used to tell my company that we were a team and we were a partnership and we each got one vote and the only difference is the tie always went to me.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, what a lot of people don't know about you, maybe, Josh, is that before you were helping people sell better, you had another life, didn't you?
Yes, I did, Jim. I was...
You were an inventor.
Yes, I was very fortunate. Myself and two other people, we were co-inventors of a product that's still sold worldwide today, and it had a significant impact on reducing damage to the ozone layer from refrigerants.
Right.
And
how long did it take you to invent that product?
Well, it in concept, it took us probably, and really my partner deserves a lion's share of the credit for it. It took probably about a year, and then it took about 5 years to actually make it work. There was only three parts, and we found out that two of them didn't exist, but we forgot to mention that to the bank when we got the loan to make it.
You left that little piece of information out.
I can't believe that we forgot that, Jim.
I don't know. Like, how could that happen, right? So you knew what it took to fix it. You just had to discover two of the three things that you needed, right?
Yes, absolutely. And we were very blessed that AT&T allowed us to use one of their sites to do our experiments on, which is something we could have never done on our own. So always have a special feeling for AT&T.
Right. Well, now you have a lesson, though. You were telling me off the air. You have a little lesson for inventors who sell their products. Did you actually market the product yourself, or did you license it to a manufacturer?
We actually sold it through distributors. We did not sell directly to the end user, but we sold it through about 400 distributors worldwide. And Jim, we actually used our selling process to teach them, and they were very surprised that we would teach them how to sell better. And our logic was, even if they sold their other products better, as long as they sold ours too, we all benefited.
See, that's the kind of vendors we all need, Josh. That's what I talk about as often as I can, is find a vendor that's your partner, not just somebody who sells you stuff.
Right. You know, it's funny, Jim, that you say that, because I always say we go through three stages when we're dealing with customers or clients. In the first stage, we're viewed as a vendor where we're focusing on short-term needs. On the second stage, we're viewed as a supplier and we're focusing on short-term priorities. And then finally, which is the stage you're talking about, we become a partner where we're focusing on their long-term goals, and which which ensures, if we know their long-term goals, it ensures that their short-term needs and priorities are in sync with those.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. And we're going to talk about what we're going to do when we come back in a minute. We're going to talk about what Josh says. If you could ask your customers one question, what would it be and why? But before we go to the break, only got a few seconds, Josh. Tell them when you sell a product, you license it out, should you get paid in a lump sum or should you take royalties?
You should always take royalties, Jim, because you don't pay Social Security on royalties.
That's passive income.
Yes.
So
absolutely.
One active
lifestyle.
Yeah. Hey, stand by, Josh. We're going to take a quick break, folks. 22, we'll be right back with our good friend Josh Costell. He's the author of The Science of Sales Success. My favorite blues man, Robert Gray. Much to my wife's chagrin, I like to listen to him all the time. I love blues. Josh Costell, do you like blues?
I love it. Puts a smile on my face, brings me to some place where I used to be.
Yeah, there you go. But
and some place usually where I'm trying to get to.
That's right. Robert Cray's one of the best folks out there, and I encourage you to check out his stuff. Josh Costell is a great guy, too. I encourage you to check his stuff out. Josh, give us your website, please.
The website is www.measuremax, MEASUREMAX.com. Measure to maximize, www.measuremax.com.
And can they find your book there?
Yes, they get my book or other places.
All right. Wherever books are sold, Science of Sales Success. Okay, here's the question that you want us to ask, or you want to ask us, Josh. If we could ask our customers one question, and only one, what would we ask and why? Now, why do you want to know that?
Because if you stop and think about what is the definition of selling in its purest form, I like to say that selling is the ability to gather information that's beneficial to you at a greater rate than which you give out information that's detrimental to you. And the only way you can do that is through your question.
That's good. That's not just good in sales. That's good in life, isn't it?
Right. And, you know, questions are like a natural resource. In sales, we tend to think that there are unlimited resource. Unfortunately, if you're the customer, you don't usually share that view, you know, because you don't like to be grilled. And so the key is, what one question do you ask? And I've been asked this a lot of times, and when I've asked that to other people, tell me if you were only allowed one question to ask your customer, what would it be? And I get the typical answers that you would expect, Jim. And there's no right or wrong. I just think there's one that's more appropriate than others. And I hear things like, you know, who's the decision maker? What do you need? What's your budget? What keeps you up at night or your pain? What's your time frame? And again, those are typical questions, but, you know, they don't bring anything to a completion. Even, you know, if you ask someone, you know, what's your pain, you're going to have to ask other questions to really find out what they're looking to solve. And so what I did, Jim, and I spent a lot of time talking to salespeople around the world on this, is to me, and customers, if you are only allowed to ask one question, it should be, how do you know if you achieved your goals? Because it resets everything. Because remember, we talked about, if you want to be viewed as a partner, you have to focus on the customer's long-term goals. And by asking that one question, it just unravels everything. Because number one, the customer, or typically customers, have usually not been asked that question. And I usually have seen the most common response when I've seen people ask that question to their customers, is their customers look like they're trying out a new pair of eyes. I mean, they've just never been asked the question before.
No, I was going to say if I were sitting in front of a person who was wanting to do business with me, and he said, "How do you know when you've achieved your objectives?" I would think he was being a little nosy.
Well, I think that could be a common response. If someone asked you, how do you know whether you achieved your goals or not? The thing that you have to explain to them is why they need to understand that information, why you need to understand it. To help them if you can, or tell them that you can't, is because without knowing whether someone achieved their goals or not, you really have moving targets.
Right.
You know, what are you really trying to accomplish for the customer? And the one thing I've always found that if you can find out what the customer's goals are, and typically they'll look at you and say, well, what do you mean? And I think we've talked about this before, that if you have two what do you mean, what do I mean comments in a row, that usually kills the sales call. So
that's right.
That's where you hope they didn't get your name and they think you're from a competitor and you get out of there pretty quick, right?
Are you telling me you're from the competitor and you leave? You know,
right.
One of the things, as you were talking about, one of the most important questions to ask, what is the one question? What I thought about was, and I'm going to get to your question in a second, what I thought about was, would you mind telling me about your company? I always like to get people to tell me about what they do. And in that conversation, maybe with a couple of little subsequent short questions, I could find out what motivates them. I could find out what their objectives were. I could find out what they were trying to accomplish. And then after maybe, 3 minutes of that, then if I said to them, well, how do you measure whether you've accomplished those goals or not that you just mentioned, then that question doesn't sound odd.
Yep. And Jim, again, I can appreciate it. And I like that about the company because really when you're asking someone, tell me about your company, what you're really trying to do is tell me about what your company does, which is another way of saying, what are you trying to accomplish?
Mm-hmm.
And really, I guess if you wanted to smooth it out, you would say, okay, tell me what would you like to accomplish and how do you know whether you did that or not with your company?
Right. Stand by, Josh. We're going to take a quick break, folks. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Josh Costello is our guest. He's the author of The Science of Sales Success, the book I highly recommend to you. It's available wherever books are sold. Stand by. We'll be right back after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, broadcasting live from Washington, D.C. Next time you hear me after today, I'll be back to regular, not normal, but regular. Looking forward to that. It's always good to come to Washington, D.C., but as you know, it's always good to be home. Josh Costello's home, and he's talking to us from the great state of New Jersey, and we're talking about selling. And, Josh, you were saying the one question that we should be asking our customers, if we have only one question, is how do you measure your goals? How do you know when you've accomplished your goals? But what I want you to tell me is, what do we do when we get a response? What do we do with the information that we're going to get back from the customer?
What you want to do, Jim, when you get that answer, is when they tell you how they're going to achieve their goals, what that does for you, it gives you the metrics on whether your solution will meet their requirements and how much value will it generate for them. In other words, say a customer tells you that their goal is on-time deliveries. Let's say they're some sort of transportation company. And they tell you that the way that they measure their goals is by the number of on-time deliveries that are late. And you say, okay, that's great, and this is how they record it, this is how they measure it, and then you ask them, by the way, what does it cost for a late on-time delivery? They tell you that it costs an extra $8, all right? And how many late on-time deliveries do you have typically in a year and they tell you, you know, 100,000. So right away, you know that if you had a product or services that can address and improve on-time deliveries, you know that at least it's going to be worth $800,000 or whatever portion of that that you can fix.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives you a very finite way to measure the value that you might be providing them, and also gives the customer a way to cost justify buying your products or services.
Another thing, though, even if somehow the first answer doesn't give you any kind of a quantitative response, you should be getting an idea about the methodology this person uses to measure success, wouldn't you?
I mean, absolutely. But and the other thing that is
at the beginning.
Yep. And the other thing, Jim, that does so powerful for you is that if they don't know what their goal should be, or they don't know how to measure them, and you can show them similar ways in that industry from your experience how they could, that makes you a customer and an industry expert,
yep,
just not a product expert.
Well,
and that's what customers are looking for.
We used to call that the similar situation close, where you could say to them, you know, I've seen this in other places, and here's how they dealt with it, and you say if you can bring research or anything like that, you can actually do a little close with them on that. You can actually say, you know, if I can show you how we've done this with these other people I just mentioned, would you be interested in knowing more about that?
Oh, absolutely.
You didn't close the sale, you just closed to be able to spend more time with them.
And think about it. You've just got a tacit agreement, and you haven't even discussed your product.
That's right.
That's how powerful this is, Jim.
That's all part of conceptual selling, isn't it?
Yes, it's conceptual on one hand, but on the other hand, because you're quantifying it, it does make it concrete.
Anytime you're talking to a customer, or let me put it this way, anytime a customer is talking to you about their challenges, and you're talking to them about solving challenges, and your product has never been brought up or price has never been brought up, that's conceptual selling.
And that, absolutely.
That's one of the keys to success. One of the best things that anybody ever taught me, Josh, and I learned this with Xerox, is conceptual selling.
Yep. You want to think like the customer. You know, that's the key. And remember, customers have goals. They don't have features and benefits. Only products do. That's another reason why the focus on goals.
Right. Josh, I got about 20 seconds. Last thoughts. What's your last thought for us?
My last thought is make value measurable. While it's harder to calculate, it's easier to sell.
Say it again.
Make value measurable in the dollars benefits that it can produce. While it may be harder to calculate, it's easier to sell.
That's the part, the easier to sell part. That's what I like about that one. Hey, Josh, thank you for being here. Good job today, as always. I'm looking forward to you coming back again real soon.
Thanks a lot, Jim, and have a great weekend, you and your audience.
The website is called MeasureMax.com, right?
Yeah, thanks. And I appreciate having the opportunity to speak with them.
Got to go over this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. See you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.